Morning once again. We're going to be in Hebrews 11 today. When Rick preached last, he had preached on Samson and talked a little bit about Samson and his life and things like that. And he had rolled into Hebrews 11 where it says Samson was part of the Hall of Faith. And I walked back to Dave and I said, you know what? Now, your bulletin says Hall of Shame, but I said from the Wall of Shame to the Hall of Fame. That's what Hebrews 11 is about. And we're going to skip around it. You know, we're going to read the first verse, but then I'm going to be skipping around. And you're going to get a couple things this morning. One is a history lesson. So if you don't like history, tough. Because I'm going to do some history of the Bible, of some of the people here. And then the second thing is, how do we apply it to our church and to our lives? Because I think that what we're going to see here this morning, if we're really listening to God, is going to open our eyes. Because we don't realize. You know, we say we realize how good God truly is, but you know what? We don't. Because God is so much better than we can even imagine. And you know that song, I Can Only Imagine. Well, God is beyond our imagination. Now, some of us as kids had pretty active imaginations. I'm sure some of us still have pretty active imaginations. But we... Mike, are you getting the look? Yeah, okay. So obviously, somebody thinks Mike has a pretty active imagination. But you know what? We can't imagine truly the goodness of God. It's beyond what we can even think. So I've chosen to read the first verse out of the Amplified. I may switch back and read it out of, I normally use the New American Standard, sometimes the NIV. But I'm going to read it out of the Amplified because I think it gives you a little bit more of what we're doing. We're going to read verse 1 and 2. Now faith is the assurance, and it has in parentheses, title, deed, or confirmation. Okay? The assurance, title, deed, or confirmation. We all know, recognize those things, right? Titles, deeds, confirmation, that's of things hoped for, key word, hope, divinely guaranteed. And the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of the reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by physical senses. Hear that once again? Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by physical senses. For by this kind of faith, the men of old gained divine approval. And so when we look at faith, it's, you know, the evidence, the certainty of the things that we hope for and the proof of the things not seen. Okay, so let's take a look at this scripture. Now, how many have read this scripture before? How many have read this scripture more than once? How many know most of the people that are listed here in this scripture have read about them, right? Okay. So see, it may not be as good a history lesson as you know, I would want to, because you already know it. Wrong. You don't. Oh, before I forget, too, is my sister-in-law online? Dave, is my sister-in-law online? Chris. Chris, you told me you were coming here this Sunday with Tracy, and you didn't show up, and I was all prepared to take you out for dinner, so you missed it. I'm sure she'll comment somewhere along the line of that. But by faith, and we start through and it talks about Abel and it talks about Enoch. Now we know that Enoch was taken by faith. And it goes through and it starts to talk. And the first one I want to look at is Noah. Okay. Noah was a pretty good guy, right? Noah, you know, did a lot of right things, and Noah obeyed God, right? When God came and said, Noah, I want you to build this ark, and Noah looked at him and he says, okay, you want me to build this ark, which my understanding is a boat of some sort. He says, do you understand that we don't get enough to do? What do you want me to do with this boat that I'm going to build here in the middle of nowhere? But he listened. And he listened. And eventually, you know, we know what happened there. But did you know, Noah? I want you to understand. Now, Noah's in this hall of fame. But guess what? His part of the wall of shame. Do you know Noah's the first recorded person with drunkenness in the Bible? Noah got drunk. And in Noah getting drunk, an episode happened that was to his shame. Okay? Noah had shame because of his drunkenness. God says, do not be a drunkard, right? You know, we know that's in God's word. But Noah was the first recorded drunk. How many people knew that? Huh? A couple. How many care? Oh, nobody put their hand. Oh, one person put their hand up. All right, good. You ought to care. Noah had some shame in his life. He wasn't all that good. But yet, he's in here because God says it was his faith. Right? It was his faith that took him there. So he in reverence, he prepared the ark, and he knew it was only going to save his household. Then we go to Abraham and Sarah. Now, they were perfect people. Right? Abraham and Sarah, they were the perfect people. Oh, wait. Abraham gave his wife to the king and said, this is my sister. Oh, they both doubted when God told them, you're going to have a kid. And Sarah says, oh, yeah, okay, I'm 90 years old. Yeah, right. You see, there was doubt, there was disobedience in their lives. Yet God blessed them, even though they weren't always totally in line with God. You know, they had failures. Sometimes when we have failures, we often get down on ourselves, you know, especially when we fail God. But I want you to understand, God takes those failures and he builds upon them. So here was Abraham and Sarah, there was failure. So once Abraham had given his wife to the king, do you think God could have said, well, you know, Abraham, you blew it. You're not going to have a kid now. You're not going to be blessed, as I said. No. God still said, you're going to have your son. You're going to have your son by Sarah. Then what did they do? They actually, Sarah gave him the handmaiden, you know, and they had Hagar. Huh? Once again, disobedience. Once again, not trusting in God to do what he promises to do. Have you ever been there, done that? Huh? Yeah, we fall into that trap sometimes, that we don't do what God has told us to do. So then we go on, and he says, in verse 13, I want you to see this thing. All these died in faith without receiving the promises. All died in faith without receiving the promises. There are consequences sometimes to our lack of faith. They didn't see the promises that was actually there. They saw and welcomed them from a distance, and that, but they did not get to see some of the promises of God that he had promised to them. Why? Because of their disobedience, their lack of faith, it did bring some consequence. So then we move on, and you got, you know, Isaac, and you got Esau and Jacob, and of course we know they were always the greatest, right? Jacob, what did he do? He deceived Isaac so that he could get the inheritance, didn't he? Now think about this. He deceived to get an inheritance, and God still let him have the inheritance. He still blessed him in that, but you know, he deceived. Moses, we could look at Moses' life and we see many, many things there that where he fell short. Yeah, he murdered a guy. You know? He fell short, but yet God used him. I can remember the time when when God said, Moses, you're going to be a great man and you're going to tell people about me and you're going to be the one that leads them out. Moses says, I can't even talk. You know, I don't know if Moses had a stuttering thing or if he just was, you know, afraid or what it was. But he told God, he said, God, I can't do that because I can't speak. All right, Moses, well, I'll give you, your brother can do the speaking for you. You just hold the rod up. You know, by faith, the people crossed through the Red Sea because of God and his blessing. So when you look at some of these people and you start wondering, you say, well, what about them? You know, by faith, the prostitute Rahab did not perish. You know, Rahab was a prostitute. Yet God used her. And because of her faith, what did happen? It said she did not perish. See, God can even use us when we fail. And in the midst of that failure, he can use us. Then he goes into some other ones. And we may not look at all these and say, you know, oh, we know exactly. Take Gideon. Okay? Anybody know the story of Gideon? What did he do? Did he test God? Huh? Did he put God to a test? Huh? Yeah. So the first thing he says to God, God says, you're going to go in and you're going to do this. And the first thing he says is, well, God, not that I don't trust you, but prove it. Have you ever asked God to prove it? I think I would sometimes, if I was talking to God and said, God, I want you to prove this to me, I'd be afraid that he'd prove it to me in a way I wouldn't want to. But the first thing that happened is a bolt of fire came down from heaven to Gideon. That was the first, did you know that? See, we miss that part sometimes because we just concentrate on the fleece. So the bolt of fire comes down and he, oh, okay, this is what I asked you to do, God, and you proved it, so okay. Well, I'm going to put this fleece out, God, and prove it again. Prove it a second time to me. And put the fleece out, and the dew was on the fleece, not on the ground. He says, oh, God, I really trust you now. Prove it a third time. Huh? When you think about that, if we ask God for proof and it comes, should we doubt that it's real? But Gideon twice more asked for proof. And then, excuse me, my allergies are really bad today, so I'm not sick. I just have really bad allergies. So God, again, he makes itself known to Gideon and says, all right, here, you know, here's your proof. And he said, now I want you to take a few men and go out and, you know, fight. So Gideon says, okay, and he goes out and he calls up all the armies from the different nations around him. He says, hey, God wants us to go fight. Come on, join into me. And God says to him, he says, Gideon, what are you doing? You don't need that many people. Gideon says, well, I only have 20,000. We're outnumbered. God says, yeah, I'll tell you what, go tell everybody that's afraid, go home. And I think it went down to 2,000-3,000, something like that. Everybody else went home that was afraid. Huh. What would happen if God said to us, hey, if you're afraid, just go home? How many of us would go home? Fear. Fear. That was another detriment to these people. Fear. And then God says to Gideon, well, you know what, Gideon? You still have too many. I'll tell you what, take them down to the river, and those that take and pick up the water in their hand and drink it, you take them, and there's 300. And Gideon, I'm sure, is looking and saying, God, you know, you proved it three times, and now you're telling me I take 300. Are you sure, God? Do we question God? Do we ask God and say, God, are you sure? When he gives us some direction? You know, I find it amazing, and sometimes we pray for direction, and God gives us a direction, and it's not exactly the direction that we want, so we say, God, can you verify that that is the right direction, because I don't think I want to go there, right? You know, I remember people saying, Lord, I want to serve you, just don't make it be overseas. You know, we want to set the direction at times. And that hinders our faith. Then there's Barak. What was Barak? A judge. Did he have any failings? Huh? We all have failings. Well, you know what? I love this one because probably most of you, this is a lesson you'll probably most of you not know. Barak was an outlaw. And he had a gang. You know, he was one of the first ones that he had a gang of people. And they were outlaws. And so they robbed and they stealed and they killed and they did all these kind of things. And God spoke to Barak and says, I want you to be a judge. And the people had a little bit of a hard time at first, but then the people came to love Barak because you know what? He was one of the best judges recorded. He was not only the judge, but they wanted to make him a king. And he said, no, God didn't call me to be king. God called me to be a judge. But he went from being an outlaw with the gang to being a judge of the people for God. And then we had Samson and David. I said the other night, I said, you know, most of us, if we were honest, if David showed up at our doorstep with all the problems he had, we'd probably not welcome him. Right? He was a murderer. He went out. He killed. Why? To get another man's wife. Huh? He committed adultery. He murdered. He was deceptive. He was a liar. He did all these things. And that gets me to the point of what we need to understand. It's not about our failures. Where have we failed? Joanne said we all fail. Some of us look at when we really fail in a big time. And as a church, I think this is what's really happening, that this is what drives people out of churches. We judge by the failures. God judges by the faith. Now remember, what's faith? The evidence of things unseen. We don't see people's hearts. We don't see their minds. We see their actions. So we as a church have a tendency of judging by actions. And for years and years and years, and still churches do judge by actions. If you're a divorced person, you cannot truly be of God and you can't serve. We don't know all the things that God sees. But wait a minute. Could they have got divorced and not been serving God and then come to God and they have faith now? But yet we hold that in the past. It's easier for a person in prison who was a murderer and a thief and everything else to come out of prison and preach to people than somebody, a man that was, and woman that was divorced to serve in a church. Is that what God's looking from us? We are judging by actions. And if we would have judged all these people that are in this hall of fame, the hall of faith, if we had to judge all these people by their actions, what would we have said? Are they worthy to be on that list of the hall of faith? The heroes? The heroes of faith. Are they worthy to be on that list because of their actions? Are we worthy to be on that list because of our actions? No. God doesn't care what's in our past. He only cares what's in our present. The past is gone. We can't change the past. We can't go back and change things that happened. But can God take our failures and make blessings out of them? Sure. We see it all the time. God takes our failures and we take and blame ourselves and we take and we look at those and we hold on to them and Satan keeps coming back and pounding on us and saying, yeah, but look what you did. Look what God says. God says it's the faith. And when we fail, we can still have faith. We can have faith when we fail. It just isn't strong enough. But faith that is looking to God is the faith that gets us through. All the people that he talks about, he talks in here, and he says some of the people were mocked, some of the people were scorned, some of the people, you know, were tempted and put to death, and some of them, you know, were poor, and some of them were tormented, afflicted. Yet, all of them gained approval through their faith. And all of them did not receive all the promises that God had for them. It wasn't the fact that they didn't get heaven. See, God has a plan for each one of us. And in that plan is a bucket list. It's a bucket list of blessings. Okay? God has a huge bucket list of blessings for us. You know what they all are? I don't know what's going to happen that God's going to bless. But he's got this huge bucket list of blessings that says blessings for you. And when we fail, some of those blessings don't come to fruition because of the failure. Not because of God, because of our failure. But God says, when you fail, when you get knocked down to the ground, when you fall, pick yourself back up and what? Start having faith. And he says, I will bless you. We as a body of believers, we as a church, we do not gain approval from God for the things that we do. Okay? You know, our approvals don't come because of anything we do. Because if it was us alone, half the things we do, we probably wouldn't do. But because we trust in God and we believe in God, we do things that maybe we don't want to do. Jeannie said this morning that she was glad to see the girls come in even though their dad wasn't here. Okay? Now, when they first started playing for us, I made the statement, they might not have showed up. But see, it's to the point now that they've jumped into this ministry. And what happens is sometimes we do things without thinking, you know. Hey, my dad isn't going to be there, so why do I need to go? But they came to be part of the ministry. Obedience, faith, believing that God's going to use it. The evidence of things hoped for. Right? When we get up here as a praise and worship team, we're not here to entertain you. We're not here to be perfect. We're not here to have a show. Okay? If we started charging you admission, I'm sure we wouldn't make too much money. Right? We're up here to serve God. And now we make mistakes now and then. Sometimes my bass makes some weird notes come out, even though I didn't think I played it. But it happens. Sometimes Jeannie gets lost in the song and forgets where she was. It happens. Sometimes our singers don't sing the right note. It happens. But see, we're not here to entertain. If we were here to be professionals and entertain you, like I said, we'd have to charge admission. We're here to serve God. So when we make the mistake, We're not looking at it as, oh man, we messed up. Well, we might do that. But we're not looking at that we messed up. We're looking at it and we pray every time that God will somehow bless someone through the ministry. Okay? That's why we're up here. That God would somehow bless. And we as a church have to realize that we have to start looking at where the blessings of God can be and not what the reactions of the humanness can be. Because guess what? We keep looking at the humanness and we're going to fail. We're going to, as a church, going to fail. Because guess what? All the perfect people are already here. I got a few chuckles out of that one. Maybe it's all the imperfect people are already here. Do I get more chuckles out of that one? No. We're here. But see, if we want everybody to come in that door to be up to our expectation as a Christian, I've been a Christian a long, long time. There's expectations for me that I have. But I fell. Many of you that know me know I have somewhat of a temper, and I keep asking God to help me with it, and it's better than it used to be. But you know what? Once in a while, I will fail in that. Okay? And when I fail, I ask God, you know, help me. Okay? But when we look for people that aren't, we're a little more forgiving of those that we count as our close fellowship than we are of those new people coming in. Oh, wait, did you see what that person was wearing when they come to church on Sunday? Can you believe they come to church wearing that, looking like that? God doesn't care. God doesn't care what they look like. Why do they go to church? Why are we supposed to go to church? To worship God. Have any of you ever worshiped God in your pajamas? You should be ashamed of yourself. You should have put on your Sunday best before you started worshiping God, right? There are still churches, though, that they practice that. If somebody walks into the church, it doesn't meet their approval. Remember how Grandma and Grandpa used to look over their glasses at you and you knew you weren't being approved at that time? Huh? We as a body of believers have to accept people that come in the door as they are. And then, remember, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. We have to hope that God gets a hold of their heart. And that if there's change to be made, that God makes the change, not us. You know? I know people that got married and said, I'll change them after I'm married. Right. You won't. And we won't change the people that come in the door. God has to change them. But guess what? God may not want to change them right now. God may want them just as they are. Why? Because they can reach somebody that maybe we can't. That they can go out and they can talk to somebody that we probably wouldn't be able to talk to. God says that if you want to be in this heroes of faith, what is it you got to do? You got to have faith. And through faith, you're going to see things manifested. All these people fell short of God's will for them. Every one of them. You think God wanted David to do what he did? No. But God understood. And in the Bible it says David was a man after God's own heart. You know? God wants us to be people of faith. When we do stuff and we fail, yes, there are consequences. Yeah. When you tell a young kid no, they don't like it. When God tells us no, we don't like it. When we go ahead and do what we want to do anyhow, even though God said that's not the direction I want to go, can God still turn it around and use it? Absolutely. But we may not receive one of the blessings that God had in store for us. That big bucket of blessings, one of them might fall out. And it's not there anymore. Because we didn't have faith. Faith is what makes us worthy of heaven. Jesus died on the cross that we might be saved. Our faith is what sees us through to the end. That's what sees us through. And it says here, God, the last verse in the chapter says, all these having gained approval through their faith did not receive what was promised because God had provided something better for us so that apart from us they would not be made perfect. We're not made perfect here on earth. Some of us may think we are. But ask my wife, she'll tell you I'm not. Or my daughter, or my granddaughters, or any of them, they'll tell you I'm not. Even my sister-in-law probably would tell me I'm not. God doesn't expect perfection. He expects faith from us. So as in David, and Moses, and Noah, Barak, Samson, all those people, God did something with. And they were listed here in this Heroes of Faith. Not because they were perfect, but because they had faith. And God used the imperfection to do His work. Look at your own lives. Is something holding you back from God because of something in the past? Is it, as you look at it, you say, you know, I wish I hadn't have done this. It really, you know, we can wish away our entire life by looking at the past and saying, I wish that wouldn't happen, or I wish I'd have done this different. Start today and look at your life and say, you know what? All those things that happened, all those things that are in the past, how can I let God work through me? How can I have the faith to say, God, I know I messed up, but I still love you and I want to serve you. And use that, God. Use that. See, all these people with their inadequacies, God used them. Why? Because they had faith and they said, God, use me. Use me. That's all you have to do. When you look at the heroes of faith, there isn't one of these people that's better than you. Some of them might be a little worse than you. You know? But they all got in this heroes of faith from the wall of shame to the Hall of Fame. We look at them, and you know what? Most of the time when we look at this list, we don't think about their failures. We think about their successes. David, he fought a giant. You know? He did all kinds of good things. Moses led his people out of Egypt. Noah created a new foundation for the earth in saving his family. They all did remarkable things in their lives. So let's start looking at the successes. Let's start looking at each other and saying, you know, that person really does this well. that person is really helpful. That person, you know, you can see the evidence of God's love in a person, can't you? Even when they fall short. Look at people with that aspect of saying, these are people that God can use. You want to see this church grow? We have to accept the people that God leads here to us. And they may not all be what we would pick. But you know what? Doesn't matter. Because if God chooses them and they have faith to believe, He'll use them. And He'll use them in spite of us. Let's have them be used here. Let's have them be part of our fellowship, part of our church. Oh, I'm not saying that we welcome sin into the church. But the sin of the past is past. And what we have to do is not look at the past, but look at the present and look at the future of tomorrow. And that's where God wants us. If you have faith and believe in God, and you have true faith and believe in God, you're already part of this Heroes of Faith. So don't let anything on earth that Satan throws out in your past stop you from being a hero of faith. Believe. Believe. Believe that God can do it, and the evidence will be that He does it. Oh, wait. And He doesn't do it the way we think it should be done either. He does it the way He wants it done. And we have to accept that. We have to accept that. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes we look at life and we say, you know, why, God, why? God says, trust in me. I have a plan and it will work out. Just believe. Believe. I have a plan for you and it will work out if you believe. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we look at these people that are declared in your word as heroes of faith, and we look at their lives and say, Lord, they're no better than us. And Lord, they have failed like we fell. And Lord, there are things in their lives that we don't have in our lives, but there are things in our lives that they didn't have in theirs. But Lord, we thank you for the fact that we know that if we continue to have faith in you, that even though we fail, even though we struggle, even though there's things that Satan tempts us with and we just yield because of our own humanness, Lord, you can use all those things as a blessing to others. Help us to realize, Lord, that there's a world out there that's lost. And the only way we can reach him is to say, you must have Jesus Christ. But when they make that effort, then help us to not focus on the past or the things that they do, but to focus on you and say, Lord, help this person and pray for them. And Lord, touch this person and make them a true believer of yours. Be with us this week. Once again, we ask, give Pastor and Chrissy safety as they come home. Be with each one, Lord. Have your will in our hearts and our lives. And help us go out this week not to focus on things of the past, but to focus on you and what's in tomorrow. We ask it in the precious name of Christ. Amen. You are dismissed.